Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. Y'all, this is the arena. It's not for people chasing noise. It's for people that are building something real. Because the truth is, most people don't lack opportunity. They lack clarity and discipline and direction. And God did not create you to live reactive, constantly busy, constantly overwhelmed, and constantly behind. He created you to live in the moment with intention, to build a life that actually works for you. And everything that you've learned along the way, that isn't random. That's a part of your message. And today's guest is Damien Schroers. He didn't just leave corporate, he built systems that gave him his life back. I'm going to let him tell his story. So, Damien, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat today. I'm excited to listen to this, and I start everybody out with the same kind of in the arena question. Give us your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do, and what makes you special?
So at a high level, I help professionals and mostly adults to be more comfortable with technology. And that gets translated in various different ways in my business at the moment called EasyTech, where I do some IT training for corporations, but also Macpreneur, my podcast, where I help solopreneurs make the most, save time, save money by better using their Apple computers.
Oh, I like that. So when you started, you didn't jump straight into entrepreneurship, right? You like built that on the side. Why is that important for you?
I'm pretty risk averse. And also when I made the transition, or when I decided to do a transition, I already had a family. I had small children, and so for me to be able to continue to provide for the family, right, not put my family in jeopardy,
Yeah.
I decided to really go slowly and build some savings on the side to be sure.
Okay, so you had a family, so you made this a gentle transition. During that process, what did you learn most that a lot of people completely underestimate in that change?
I think what I learned was that you don't need to start a business to learn how to run a business or to learn skills that will be valuable the day that you will have a business. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Right? So before even having my own business, I was already volunteering and I already experimented with providing courses, evening courses for free. And also helping people with their computers at home, right, doing basically pro bono consulting,
Yeah.
just to see how it goes, right? What's involved with that, and obviously all the financial side of things, the pricing, the
Sure,
invoicing, that
sure.
came when I had the business. But before that, just to have a feel for not only the logistics, but for me, what actually drove me to go on with starting my business was to see the impact that I had on people, the positive impact that I had on people. And so that was, even though it was free, it was pro bono
Yeah.
work, that was already motivation enough for me to continue, even doing it for free.
Yeah. I want to, before we move on to, some of the things that you talk about, because I talk to a lot of people that are in the corporate space, and I want to ask you a question genuinely. What is harder, staying in corporate or leaving it?
It depends your tolerance
Yeah.
for cognitive dissonance, I would say, because that was one of the things that drove me as well to leave corporate was the fact that I could not reconcile the way I wanted to live and work with the way I was working at the time. So,
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because you talk about cognitive dissonance for someone that's listening, make that make sense for them. Like, give us like a an example.
So for me it was really two parts or two sides possibly of the same coin. It was on the professional side and it was on the personal side. So on the professional side, I didn't really like the politics of large corporations, and I remember vividly sitting in the office with my manager at 9 a.m. and then at 10 a.m. we had a call where we learned that he would not be our manager anymore. Like, it was, and we had a discussion at 9 a.m. as if
He was the
that
guy.
person would be there for a few years even, right? And I was like, this kind of double face, not really being able to trust the people you work with. And that was the most shocking event that I had to live there, even though it's still relatively mild, huh? But for me, with my principles and with the way I like to work, and I oftentimes I'm maybe sometimes too open or too I would say sharing too much, right? To be too frank. But that was like a big blow. And then the other part with the personal side was really for me spending more time with my children and with my wife. And so I was part of a kind of a task force. I don't know how they call that, but at the time, but the idea of, okay, let's explore working remotely, working home and stuff like that. But very quickly, I realized we hit our small group. We hit a wall in the fact that they were too concerned about security risks and they didn't want to pay for insurance. And so it was like reasons after reasons after reasons why this would never work. And mind you, it was before the pandemic. So we had nothing, right? I had nothing to say. It's possible, it's feasible, and right. So what I still did was manage to use what I had at my disposal. So I'm living in Luxembourg, and I must say, as a father, we are very privileged because I was able to take 12-month part-time parental leave for both of my daughters. And so, yes, I had half of my salary, but the government, the Luxembourgish government, was actually giving me something around 1,000 euro, which would be $1,200, I think, a month on top of half my salary. And I had so much flexibility, and I could spend time with my daughters, and also I had time to reflect to reflect on my corporate life and what I wanted to do. And but yeah, but as soon as this was finished, yeah, it was like they could not imagine that me continuing working part-time, not part-time, half-time, right? Hence, I don't know, we didn't talk about that, but hence my decision to build my business not only on the side, but also part-time. And I managed to negotiate a 70% part-time. So working 3.5 days, and it was Thursday evening and Friday all day to build my
Build
business
your
on the side.
business. I think that's incredible. And I think a lot of people can relate to kind of that cutthroat, dog eat dog world. And it's a place where you're not always treated with humanity. And that would make it hard for someone who I feel like you really do genuinely care about people and want to help people, and that's not a place where you guys are like, you know, if you have a chance to take someone's promotion, like you're gonna do what it takes to take them out. But so, you know, you do talk about reclaiming time. Is this where you realized, was it, you know, after you got that time with your family that you realized that that's your most valuable asset, or were you already, did you already know that long before things worked out, you know, and you had that time with your family?
No, I think it's really the birth of my first daughter that made me realize
Yeah.
that, yeah, time with family is important.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and you don't have second chances.
Yep.
That's the
Yep.
thing, right? That's the and now having a great connection with my daughters. So the youngest is 17, the eldest is 19.
Yeah.
That for me is a somewhat good achievement, right? That we, yeah,
Oh, that beats every corporate title. That beats every, like, that is where it's at. That's incredible. You,
Yeah,
so.
because I think they don't absolutely don't remember anything that I've done, even though I've talked to them about what I was doing in my previous corporate job,
Yeah.
but that means nothing for them.
Yeah, that's amazing. I feel like, you know, nowadays, like everyone is so busy, 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 busy. Like they're busy all day. Why do you think they're still not getting ahead?
That's a good question. I think distractions. So distractions are one thing. I had a conversation earlier this week with a solopreneur friend of mine, and it's funny because we are in roughly the same situation. Maybe his kids are younger than mine now,
Yeah.
but he really had the impression that there was absolutely no time, right? That everybody wanted his attention, and
Yeah.
he was submerged, he was overwhelmed. And I just showed him one trick on the iPhone, which is actually using focus modes, right? S
Yeah.
simply sh showing him one thing and telling him, I don't have less pressure than you. We all have the same
Yeah.
pressure today, but the question is, how do you deal with the pressure? What technological solution, but also mentally, how do you handle the pressure, right? Is it okay for you not to respond to an email within an hour or two?
Yeah.
And that's a psychological barrier for some people. They believe generally that they need to reply, otherwise they will lose
Instant.
business and
Yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's a mix of that. It's a mix of mindset, but also putting in place some technological boundaries to, because I showed him, look, we were in a, at a dinner. It was an evening dinner.
Yeah.
And I showed him, look, I showed him my phone. There was no red badges,
Yeah.
nothing.
Yeah.
And the only people who could join me if they called were my wife, my children, and my parents.
Yeah.
And it's possible today to do that on actually any kind of phone today.
Yeah. Nope, I have the same thing. I have to put it on do not disturb 90% of the day, or I'm like this. Da, da, da. And so emergency bypass is great because my family
Yes.
can reach me when it's necessary. And I mean, I do think that's an underused tool. I think another thing as well that helped me, because I used to be that person. Right. I used to be the person that had to answer every email. I would be up at 2 in the morning, just like responding to everybody immediately. A thing that really helped me is kind of taking time. I deleted my apps so that the only time I could be in the system is if I came to my office on my MacBook and I was like, okay, I'm gonna log in, I'm gonna check in. And it was hard. You know, it was hard. It's like an addiction. I feel like it's feeding our dopamine and everything else to kind of be responsive, be reactive. And It's incredible that you're helping people do this. You have built systems and automation. What is something that people are doing manually that they shouldn't be doing?
Anytime they need to deal with the same type of information in different systems, right? Their contact database, their CRM, invoicing software, it doesn't matter, right? But because when you have clients, or when you have clients mostly,
Yeah.
nowadays you need to deal with different systems, different web services or different pieces of software. But I think that these kinds of operations are super easy now to automate the copy pasting from one application to another.
Sure.
So that's and I still see people using Microsoft Word or Excel for invoices, which it's like,
So that's a
why?
no-no. Yeah.
Yeah, why do you inflict yourself so much pain?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you recommend? What is a system you would recommend for that?
I recommend any online service that actually connects to your bank, so that you even have directly you have automatic profitability calculation, because
Yeah.
you know what you invoice. If it can look at all your expenses
Yeah.
automatically, and but on top of that, any invoicing software, online invoicing software,
Yeah.
they have a duplicate existing invoice
Yeah.
feature. They have automatic invoice number incrementation. They have automatic reminders, and you can set one, two, three reminders. So
Yeah.
that if they don't pay within so many days, and you can say, send automatically a reminder 3 days
Yeah.
before the due date, on the due date, and then 7 days after the due date, and you can customize the message.
Yep.
And on top of that, so the one that I'm using is FreshBooks,
Okay.
and I really like the idea that I can create an estimate.
Yeah.
And with one click, that
Yeah.
estimates becomes an
That's
invoice, right?
amazing. And I feel like so if my audience, I'm very I try to keep everything simple. So I, you know, my planner is handwritten, right? Like that works for me. But I use Stripe just because I didn't want to have to learn any other computer program and I needed to keep it simple. So for me, I feel like that was just the simplest. Everything is right there. Whatever I need to look for, it's really accessible. So I love that you're, you know, teaching people this. You did this by yourself for years before you hired help. How were you able to really scale without that burnout? Because it does take, I feel like it does take a debt of time.
Yeah. So again, it's funny because it's like the thing that comes in this conversation. It's again a mix of mindset shift and technological
Yeah.
solutions. So for me, automation is a super power for me,
Yeah.
and it's an underused superpower for most entrepreneurs,
Yeah.
because it's mostly the compounding effect
Right.
of automation, right? Some people say, but okay, you're saving 5 seconds there, you're saving 2 minutes there. What's the big deal? Well,
Yeah.
if you save, what is it? Yes, it's the 1% improvement
Yep.
rule, right? If you
Yeah.
improve by 1% every day, you're 37 times
Ahead of where you were.
ahead of where you are in a year,
Yeah.
So 1% compounding into 3,700
Yeah.
X the productivity or the efficiency.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that, and I don't know, maybe that's one thing that's in my personality. I'm a perfectionist, but that means also I'm a continuous improver.
Yeah.
I can't let things sit. And when I was in my previous corporate job, and I think that was the reason why also I really liked what I was doing. It's funny because I really enjoyed my work when I
Yeah.
was in corporate. It's just the environment that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I've always challenged the status quo wherever I am, I challenge the status quo and with myself as well. So I can't let things just sit like
Right.
that. I need to find ways to make them better.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as you said earlier, it could be consuming, right? Could become a drug as well.
Yes.
And so the mindset shift was, I need to take time for myself. And that is very hard. I have a very hard time taking time for myself. But it was already before the birth of my daughters.
Yeah.
And I started actually, believe it or not, taking a nap. And when I was working in corporate, I would eat lunch, then do a small walk, then go to my car in the parking lot, and I would rest for 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I combine that with meditation. And so now it's part of my routine.
Yeah.
I don't know for how many years, more than 20 years now.
Yeah.
And these kind of habits of the midday, shutting down all the noise,
Reset.
reset, is super important. And I don't think I could be, I don't think I could have been a good parent
Yeah.
without that, because
Yeah.
in the evening it's when you have
You're like,
you're snappy
yeah.
and it's and but also professionally, work-wise, I can easily then work in the afternoon without feeling sluggish.
Right. I think people really take that for granted. I think more people need to, if you're going to learn anything from the show, you guys. Please understand how important it is to take like that reset midday, or even like, I feel like I wear a lot of hats and I really have to take that time in between to be like, okay, you were podcasting, now you're gonna go be mom, right? You've been mom all day, now you're gonna go be wife. And it's just taking, even 3 to 5 minutes of just breathing and being mindful to shift gears and to figure like, who am I now? Like who's coming to the table? It shifts everything. Your body needs that, your mind needs that. I want to talk tech for a second. Like I said, I've repelled it my whole life. Okay, I've been one of those people who is just like, my mind just overcomplicates it. And I would say, not in a, I don't, I would say like I feel like I'm pretty intelligent. But it's always been intimidating. Like, could I figure it out? Yes, but does it? I'm not comfortable doing. I don't like it. I don't like learning about it. I don't like any of that stuff. Why, and I know my reasons. Why do you think a lot of people really do have resistance to tech that could make their lives easier?
A good question, because yeah, my wife is really the opposite. It's
Yeah.
on that front, right? That is the most technology adverse person that I know, and I don't know. It's familiarity.
Yeah.
Maybe it's also the fact that it's too intangible, right? The
Yeah.
electronic world, the digital world, requires, I think, a level of abstraction. And I realized, because I have a lot of clients that are
Yeah.
also not really, it's not that I'm not good with technology, it's really this aversion of dealing with technology and also dealing with the issues that come with technology. And what I realize is I'm able to have a full mental model of the way the technology works. So I'm able to help remotely a client through panels without seeing them. It's like having a 3D map of a region or even a, you have Waze, right? And you don't need Waze to navigate from point A to point B with your car because the map is in your mind. And I think it is something like that some people are more. Do you like writing?
Yeah, I'd
Do you
love
like
it.
reading?
Yeah, I love it. Both,
So
that's my jam.
you're very good with words and this kind of the literature and so on. I'm not good at that at all. I'm not interested at that in that, and I'm not very good at that either, right? So I think it's the way everybody's
Our
minds
brains are
are
working.
brain are working different and are tuned to some patterns versus other patterns.
That makes a lot of sense. And it'd be incredibly boring, and we would have never made it anywhere in the world if we all liked exactly the same thing. If we were all tech gurus, what would be the point? Like, it would, nobody
Yes.
would be special, right? Like, we need this help. But really fast, because we are coming up on our time, I do want to talk a little bit about AI and kind of, what you think people are missing there now. And I will say, because of one of my mentors, he gave me this incredible program to run through AI. It's incredible because I'm rebuilding my own web page right now with this. And I'm like, how? I never in a million years, ever in a million years thought that I could do this, to build out systems on the computer. So, I'm a fan. And it's making my life easier. What do you think, people are missing? What's the opportunity that people are missing right now with AI?
I think there are different ways people are reluctant to jumping into the AI bandwagon. Some people don't really understand what it is, and because it's still ambiguous, the term artificial intelligence has so many dimensions, can be used at so many levels that somehow I think it's a disservice that the label AI is used now too often for things that, it's what would be the example?
They're trying to
Yeah,
use it to replace humanity, right? Like, people are
yeah,
trying to
yes,
make it them, and
yeah. They, I think they conflate intelligence with also consciousness. Right. There's this kind of ambiguity because of the way the new systems, the large language models. So when I teach everything about AI, I tell, look, don't call anything AI. Call it by the type of technology. So if you're talking about a large language of ChatGPT, ChatGPT is a large language model. Yes, it's artificial intelligence at a high level, but it's a large language model. But large language model is not a sexy it's not a sexy word, and it doesn't really tell you what it does. So I prefer to use the term human language simulator. And that's basically what it is. And if tomorrow, do you have a pet?
I have lots.
You have lots. I have a cat. She's called Alma.
Okay.
Right? If tomorrow she could talk,
Yeah.
right? I would have the impression that she's another human.
Yeah.
But she's a cat.
Right.
And now people are, for the very first time, able to talk to a computer, and the computer talks back as if
Yes.
it
Yeah.
was a human.
Yeah.
Because it has actually been trained to simulate human conversations.
Yeah.
That's why the best way to look at it now, it's that it's a simulator, it's of human
Yeah.
dialogue. But then you have all the environmental consequences that are attached to that technology.
Yeah.
And now we are entering in a similar situation as with the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
Right? There was a lot of coal factories that spun out.
Yep.
Yes, we improved productivity on the manufacturing side, but at the same time, it had a bad impact on in the environment. I don't think we would be where we are today with climate change if we didn't have this industrial revolution. So I think people are concerned for actually the right reasons, because history has shown that if we don't act smart in a smart way, we could end up in this similar situation as we are today.
Yeah, I can see that. So we are at time's up. So I have one final question for you. What is one thing, like our listeners right now, what is one thing that they need to fix immediately if they want more time and less stress? And then please follow that with how people can get in contact with you.
Yeah, anytime they do repetitive tasks, right? Anytime they repeat the same kind of operations, and if it's during the same day, that's
Yeah.
even more telling, find a way to make it faster.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And where can people find you?
They can find me on at macpreneur.com. Or on LinkedIn, and I will give you the direct link to my LinkedIn profile.
Perfect. Damien, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you understand technology, though I am amazed, and I'm always respectful of people that do that because I would never begin to understand. But it's that you've used it to build a life with intention. You found the important things that matter, and it's not the corporate accolades, it's not the titles, it's not even the money. It is that freedom to be able to be present in anything you're doing. You didn't just leave corporate to be busy in a different way. You built structure and systems, and you brought clarity to that. And that gave you something that a lot of people are still chasing, which is that control over your time. That's it. That's the real freedom. And I think that makes you incredibly special. To everyone listening, if your life feels chaotic, if you feel like you're constantly behind, that's not just how it has to be. So when you tell yourself that's just the way life is, that is a lie. God did not design you to live overwhelmed. You are meant to live with clarity, with intention, and with control over how you spend your time. Your mess is your message, and even the overwhelm, even the chaos that you had to figure out, that's where your growth is. And if you've been feeling that pull to actually use your voice to share what you've learned to build something of your own, you don't have to overcomplicate it. I created a free podcast support group. It is a simple place to start. I don't gatekeep. I spill all the secrets. Over 600 episodes, 4 shows. I kind of know what I'm doing now. Once you, I help you get clear, and you can take immediate action without getting stuck in your head. So if that's been sitting with you, come join me in the group. If you feel called in this episode, please make sure that you are following Damien, that you get connected with him. If you know systems matter, then he's going to be your go-to guy. Please share this episode so it can find the right people. Damien's story can't get out with your help, and people can't find the show if you're not sharing that. And then if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Damien, thank you so much for your time today and for being willing to share this today.
Thank you for having me, Brandon.